Amen. Good evening. Good to see each of you who have returned to this place that we might continue and conclude our worship to the Lord on this Lord's Day. I realize that you are a little bit uncomfortable. I see a number of you who are fanning, indicating that the temperature has risen in the auditorium. We invite you to turn in your Bible to the passage that was read a few moments ago. But before you do that, I want to ask you to look at another passage from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 16 through 18. I want to talk to you this evening on the value of seeing the unseen. The value of seeing the unseen. 2 Corinthians 4 now, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We have some afflictions in this life, but thanks be to God, Paul, on eternal scales, weighs them and makes an assessment. And he characterizes our afflictions, though they be difficult, though they might be many. He characterizes them as our light affliction. So he contrasts our light affliction later on in the verse toward the end with a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And what he's suggesting is, or what he is indicating is that the afflictions that we experience in this life, they might seem to be pretty challenging to us. They might seem to be pretty difficult for us. But he's saying when you compare our afflictions in this life with what is coming in eternity, with what is coming in heaven, in glory, our light afflictions pale into insignificance, and they work for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So you won't think our afflictions are much of anything in comparison to what God has in store for us. Verse 18, he shares with us a very valuable concept. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So easy for us to become caught up in things that are seen, the temporary things, the physical things. He said, as children of God, we look not at the things which are seen. We see them, but we don't let them disturb us. We don't let them upset us. We don't let them hinder us. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they are temporal. They are temporary. But the things which are not seen, those things are eternal. Just because there are things which are not seen, that are not visible to the physical eyes, does not negate their reality. They are just as real as physical, material things that we can see. Like I can see you, you are physical, but there's something else that constitutes who you are that I can't see. That is far more important, far more significant than the external physical you. See, there's another you inside of you. There is the spiritual you. I can't see it. But really, that's what I should focus on. That's what I should really value. That's what should really weigh much more on the scales of value than your external person. You remember, and we visit this passage periodically, when the Lord sent Samuel after the rejection of Saul to Bethlehem, to the house of the Bethlehemite Jesse, to anoint one of his sons to be the new king of Israel. And Jesse went down and he was going to offer a sacrifice that was an auxiliary purpose, but his main purpose, his main business was to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. Of course, Samuel didn't know which son it was. He just knew he was to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And so he had the oldest one to come by him. And this guy was so impressive, kind of reminds you of Saul. This guy was looked good on the outside. And immediately, without much reflection, without much contemplation, what did Samuel say? He said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." This got to be the one. Yeah, there's no doubt already. You know, I haven't seen but one, but surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord said to Samuel, "This is not the one. This is not the one. Look not on the height of his stature, look not on his countenance. For the Lord seeth," notice that word, "the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." We can be easily misled by looking at that which is visible, by focusing our attention on that which is physical, material, and external. And we can draw some unfortunate conclusions when we fail to look at the inner person. Paul says we should look not at the things which are seen, but rather at the things which are not seen. Because those things which are not seen, those are the things that really count. Those are the things that are really valuable. Turn to another passage, please. Colossians 1, 14 through 17. Colossians 1, 14 through 17. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, notice now, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Do you know God is invisible? Do you know you can't see God with your physical eyes? That's the case because God is invisible. And he says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible. See, there are some things that are visible. We can see them. The other things that are invisible, we can't see them with the physical eyes, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. This is speaking of Christ, who was the agent by which creation was brought about. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The value of seeing the unseen. I want to remind you that Paul lets us know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Somebody say, seeing is believing. Well, for the Christian, you can turn that around. Believing is seeing. On a spiritual level, believing is seeing. This brings us now to 2 Kings 6, verses 16 through 18. Elisha and a servant were surrounded by the enemy, by the Syrians. And the servant of Elisha was very much afraid. He was fearful. He was scared. And he answered, this is Elisha saying, fear not. And I guess the young servant was thinking in his mind, what do you mean, fear not? Don't you see we are surrounded by the enemy? Sure, Elisha could see that they were surrounded by the enemy. But there were some things that the young man could not see. Elisha saw some things that were unseen by the young servant. He said, don't be afraid. You know, sometimes we are surrounded by trials and by afflictions and by difficulties and by hard times and by illnesses and by sickness and by death. And oftentimes we become very afraid because we are looking at the things that are seen rather than the things that are not seen. When you can see things that are not seen by the physical organs of sight, it calms you down. It encourages you. It reassures you. Fear not, said the prophet of God, for they that be with us. Now, I know the enemy is surrounding us, the whole bunch of them. But they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I'm sure at this particular point, the young servant couldn't understand that. He couldn't fully comprehend the message of the prophet, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. In And this reminds me of a New Testament passage, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, where the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is within us, and the Spirit of God is greater than the spirit of evil, the spirit of Satan, the spirit of the adversary. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Then Elisha prayed. See, when you have the ability to see the unseen, then you rely heavily upon prayer. Prayer is a spiritual tool or means by which we can access the eternal resources of God that we can't really see. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you. He's praying for the young servant. We need to pray for each other too, don't we? I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. He saw things he'd never seen before. He saw things that probably staggered his imagination. He saw things that shocked his sensibilities. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Don't you think that encouraged the young man? Don't you think that strengthened his faith? Don't you think that strengthened his resolve? Don't you think that reassured him when he was able to see things that he previously was unable to see? Verse number 18. And when they came down to him, this is talking about the enemies now. When they came down to him, Elisha engaged in a reverse exercise. Notice, they came down to him. Elisha prayed again unto the Lord. He just finished praying for the young man, saying, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened his eyes. And he said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there are folks today in the world, they have been smitten by spiritual blindness. They can't see the things that you can see. They can't see the blessings that you can see. They can't see the future that you can see. They can't see the spiritual realities of heaven. They can't see all that God has in store for us. They can't see the devastation that sin will bring to their lives. Because of spiritual blindness, they are unable to see it. Elisha prayed that God might smite them with blindness, and he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. They needed somebody to guide them to where they wanted to go. Elisha scored a knockout punch without ever passing a lick. He said, all right, y'all, just follow me. Just follow me. Yeah, I'll lead you where you need to go. He took them right into the midst of God's multitude. He won the battle because they they didn't have the ability to see certain things because they were blind. Not only physically blind, but they were blind spiritually. When it comes to looking through the eyes of faith, we recognize that through faith, we can already see in the present what God has promised for the future. We recognize that through faith, we can see the future glory in spite of the present gloom. We recognize that through the eyes of faith, we can see the future mountaintop in spite of the present valley. We recognize that through the eyes of faith, we can see the future joy in spite of the present sorrow. Because, see, we are looking through the eyes of faith. We recognize that through the eyes of faith, we can see future peace in spite of the present turmoil. Looking through the eyes of faith, we can see future blessings in spite of present burdens. That's why we can't allow material things. We can't allow troubles and trials and tribulations and defeats and difficulties, all of these negatives, we cannot allow them to hinder us. We cannot allow them to dispirit us. We cannot allow them to discourage us. We cannot allow them to defeat us because we are walking by faith, not by sight. One thing that we can also see by faith as we come to a conclusion is we can see endless possibilities. We can see endless possibilities through the eyes of faith. There was a little boy born recently. I think his name is Elijah. I believe his name is Elijah. Natasha and Derek Otis, little boy. I saw his picture. I have not seen the little fella in person yet. But through the eyes of faith, we can see the potential in that child. We can see the possibilities that lie within that child. And I trust that those possibilities will be realized. We have young people already here. We can look at a little fellow like Gary, little Gary, and we can look at his wonderful twin sister, whom he's very protective of and loves dearly. And we can look at them, and there's, I believe, unlimited potential within them. I don't know what they want to be when they grow up, but I do know, I'm convinced, that they want to serve the Lord, that they want to be faithful children of God. I don't have no doubt about that. I just believe that that's the case because I believe they have great potential. And I believe they are the recipients of positive spiritual parenting that will tend to facilitate the development of their latent potential that was placed in them by the great God. What do you want to be, Jake, when you grow up? A dentist. It's like pulling teeth. You can be a dentist. You can be a dentist. What do you want to be, Gary, when you grow up, sir?
Either CEO or doctor.
Okay, a CEO. somebody who makes a lot of money. I believe he can do it. I believe he can do it. We have all kinds of potential. And that's one of the secrets of effective teaching. You're able to look into the lives of students and discern within their heart potential that you can bring out or draw out of them and help them to develop. You might not be able to see it physically, but you can see it on a spiritual level. Jesus, when he looked at Peter, he saw more than a rough fisherman, an impetuous fisherman. He saw not just what Peter was, but he saw what Peter could become. He took the long look. He saw the potential in Peter. Now, let me share this. When I look at Hart Street, when I look at this congregation, I see potential. Just needs to be developed. It just needs to be brought out. Just needs to be cultivated. Just needs to be encouraged. We have basically unlimited potential with the help of the God of glory. We can grow. We can grow spiritually and we can grow numerically. You have to believe that. And you have to be able to see that within the congregation. So my prayer is, Lord, open our eyes that we might see. I know there are a lot of competing religious groups and organizations out there. But help us to recognize that there are more that be with us than with them. Do y'all believe that? I believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The value of seeing the unseen cannot be overestimated and should not be taken for granted. The lesson is yours. If you're here, you're already a child of God, but maybe you have allowed your faith to lapse. Maybe you have made